Romans chapter 16 this morning. We're back in Romans chapter 16. So we're coming to the end of our series, which we've been calling Answers, asking questions, finding answers from the Word of God. And as Paul typically does in a number of his epistles, he'll come down to the end and he'll mention a number of people. And he'll say some things that he's thankful for. And so Paul takes time in the beginning of Romans chapter 16, and we're going to look at the first 16 verses this morning. He takes some time to recognize different people and thank them for the work that they have done. One of those two. So Romans chapter 16, you take one Sunday off and it all falls apart. Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them which be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to gather together as a church family to spend time in the Word of God. We ask for your blessing now upon this time and upon your Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Janelle Guzman McMillan was the last person pulled alive from the rubble of the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. She was an office worker in the North Tower, and when it collapsed, she was trapped in that debris, and she was trapped under that rubble. All that she could move was her left hand. So she's trapped in that rubble, unable to move, unable to get herself out of that. And she had, as a child, she had grown up in church, and so she knew the Lord, but kind of moving into adulthood, she had walked away from the Lord and kind of drifted from God. But as she lay there, trapped, unable to move, with only her left hand free, she turned back to God, as people often do. And so she cried out to the Lord, and she was praying and asking the Lord to rescue her. But she lay there for 27 hours, trapped underneath all of that debris. And after 27 hours, as she was laying there, she all of a sudden felt a hand grab hers. And she heard a voice. And it was a man who identified himself as Paul. He was a first responder. And he said, hold on, help is on the way. We're coming, we've found you, we're going to rescue you, we're going to pull you out of here. And it wasn't that much longer after that they were able to pull all of this debris off of her and get her out of that rubble, and she survived, and she was okay. She tried to locate the man who identified himself as Paul, and she never could find him. She tried very hard to locate this one individual, but she just never could find him. She went on to write a book that she entitled Angel in the Rubble, and she would call Paul her angel because she had no idea who this man was or couldn't find him. And she credits Paul with saving her life and giving her that hope that she needed in that time, buried underneath all of that debris. And so she wrote this book, and she has repeatedly spoken out about how thankful she is for Paul and for all the first responders, all the firemen and the policemen, all the EMTs, everybody that helped on that day. And she has repeatedly expressed how thankful she is for the people that have saved her life and how much she appreciates their sacrifice and all the things that they did on that day. And they saved her life, and so she is eternally thankful for that. And you know, we talk about how thankful we are a lot of times. And we should be, right? And we do have so much to be thankful for. And it comes around Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about the blessings that we have. And you know, we'll express our thankfulness for the things that we have in our life. And God has done so much for us, hasn't He? He's blessed us in so many ways. And it is good for us to take time to talk about all the things that God has done for us. But this morning, I want to talk about thankfulness, but not about the things that we have, but I want to talk about how thankful we should be for the people in our life. And as Paul goes down this list, he talks about the people that he is thankful for. And this morning, we have a lot of people in our life that we need to be thankful for. And it's often easy to take people for granted, and to take, especially the people closest to us, to just forget how much they mean to us and kind of just take all the things that they do for granted. There was a French novelist named Alphonse Carr. He said this: some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. He said, I'm thankful that thorns have roses. Nobody's perfect. The people around us are not perfect. We're all thorns, right? We all have thorns, and we can focus on those thorns a lot, can't we? We can find reasons to be annoyed at people and be frustrated with the people around us. And we can even gripe about, you know, the thorn to rose ratio on these people. Be like, there are way too many thorns and not enough roses on this person. We can get to that point where it's like all we're seeing is the things that really frustrate us with other people and what they're not doing and this issue. And we can really focus on all of that. And we can be really focused on the thorns that the roses have. Or we can say, you know what? Sure, there are thorns. And there are times for correcting people and you know, trying to have conversations about the issues and all of that. But then there's times to just be appreciative and just to look at the roses that are there. And yes, I'm calling you all roses this morning. But to look at the things that they do and the blessings that they are to us and the ways that God has used them in our life. God has blessed us with the relationships that we have. But what I want to direct our attention to in Romans chapter 6:16 is specifically our church family, right? When we think about relationships, let's focus on our church family, the people that God has put in our lives in this church. Because this is who Paul is speaking about in Romans chapter 16. Now, Paul has been talking about ministry for several chapters, right? And he's started to talk about what we do and how we serve in the church and how we work together and unity and all these things. He's been talking about us and a church and how it fits together and how it functions. Ministry is accomplished by people. It's accomplished by you and me. And people don't always do things the way we would do things. And people will do ministry in a way that we go, would not have done it that way, and I think my way's better. You know, and maybe it bothers us a little bit how they're doing it. And maybe we could find ways to pick at it. And everybody struggles. We're all forgetful. We all do things our own way. We all have our own struggles and shortcomings. That's all of who we are. We are those people that are imperfect, but are trying to do this ministry together. We're trying to do our part in this church. And you know, Paul lists in Romans 16, he lists 28 individuals and then some groups of people. None of these people that Paul mentioned were perfect. They were all sinners. They were all people who had their struggles. And you know, I'm pretty sure that as Paul wrote out this list, he could have probably, for a lot of these people, also put some things that he really was, like, they could have done better, or things they could have done differently. You know, he starts with Phoebe. He could have talked about, you know, he talked about the good things that she did, and then he probably could have listed some things that he was annoyed about. Like, yeah, you know, maybe she should change this or whatever. There's all sorts of things like that. And I'm even more positive that the people that were around these individuals had even more to say about them if they wanted to. And that is just the fact of life, that we are sinners and we are not perfect. And we do things differently. We think about things differently than other people. There's always going to be friction that can exist if that's what we focus on. But yet Paul in Romans chapter 16 goes down through and says, I'm thankful for this sister for this. And I'm thankful for this brother for this in their life. And that's good for us to do that. Again, there are times and there are seasons of saying, hey, let's work on this. Maybe we can correct this, and having those conversations. But then there's time to just appreciate people and just be thankful and just look at the people God has put around us and go, I'm just grateful. I'm thankful you're here. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I appreciate your service. I appreciate your part in this church, and just look around and be grateful. And so this morning, we're going to ask a question of appreciation. A question of appreciation, and it's this. Who do we have to be thankful for? Who do we have to be thankful for? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let's find reasons to appreciate the people around us this morning. So what I want to do from Romans chapter 16 is take this list of people, and we can sort of roughly group them into four categories. and so we'll take that as four groups of people we can appreciate, and then we can find ways that all the people around us fit in one of these or more of these groups, and use that as helping us find a reason to appreciate all the people God has put around us in this church. So four categories. Here's the first one. Number one, we see that there are helpers. There's helpers. In verse 1 and 2, helpers, these are the ones who just lend a hand. They just are helpful people. So verse 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. So Phoebe is described as this servant of the church. She is the one that is going to deliver this letter from Paul at Corinth and take it to Rome. It mentions in verse 1 that she's at Centuria, which was a Corinthian seaport. So she was right by Corinth where Paul was writing this letter, and she is the one who's going to then deliver it to the believers at Rome. And so that's why Paul commends her unto them. He tells them in verse 2 to receive her in the Lord as become a saint. He tells them to help her, that he assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. And then he says that she is a succor of many. Now, this is the only time this word is used in the New Testament, and it's derived from a word that means to be put in a position of authority, but it's put in that position as a caretaker or as a guardian, that you are put over someone in order to take care of them, in order to help them. And this is what she was, Paul says. She is a helper of many. She takes care of a lot of people in her life. We need to appreciate the helpers in our life, the people who just pitch in and help us in all the ways that we need it. Someone has said that we as Christians, we are God's hands and God's feet. Right? We are the ones that God uses to do things on this earth. We're the ones that take the gospel, that do God's work. He lays it upon our heart. He opens opportunities for us, and we do the things that God wants us to do. So we carry out God's work. God has told us that he is going to supply all of our needs, right? He's promised that in scripture. He is our great provider. So all the things that we need, God takes care of all of that. And we trust God to handle that. We trust God to take care of all of our needs, supply all the things that we need. But God often uses people to accomplish that. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God says, I'm working in you to be my helpers, to do the things that I want you to do, to supply the needs that people have. He says, I have ordained that you would do all these good works. or that you would be helpers. There's a famous quote by Mr. Rogers that I'm sure you've heard before. He first wrote it in a book, Mr. Rogers Talks to Parents, back in 1983. But I remember it being used a lot in the aftermath of 9/11. And it was this quote that I'm sure you've heard. He said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" And that was good advice, right? Especially for little kids, to focus on the people that are helping and to find those. It's important for us to do that in our life too. To look around for the people that are helping and appreciate what they are doing. We see this all through Scripture, how God uses people to help other people, right? If we go back to the story of Joseph, and we often focus on Joseph, but God raised up Joseph to be this helper for so many people, because God, through a series of events, brings Joseph into Egypt from the promised land and sets him up as an authority in Egypt at the perfect time to help his father and all of his brothers and their families and all of Egypt go through this famine. And God took Joseph and made him a helper and made him this person who was in the right place to help his family go through this famine. He put him in that place to be a helper. We think about how God used a widow woman in Zarephath to meet Elijah's needs. We think about how God used a man named Boaz to meet the needs of Ruth and Naomi. We could go on and on through Scripture. And what we find is God using someone to help someone else out, to meet their needs in their life. Now, to appreciate a person isn't to ignore the working of God. Just because I look at someone and say, "Thank you for what you did," doesn't mean I'm not thankful to God. What it is a recognition of God using that person. So it's not ignoring God. To say thank you to someone isn't meaning I'm not thankful to God. It's understanding that God has used that person, and I'm thankful for their part in it, their surrender to the Lord, their willingness to be used. God uses people in our life to help us. And there are so many needs that we have. There's physical needs, there's spiritual needs. And this is what God does in meeting those, is he takes someone else and brings them across our path. And maybe it's someone who's been around us for a long time where God says, "I'm going to use you to help this person out." We are where we are because of God. But God has used people along the way to help us. We need to appreciate the helpers, the people in our life who have been there to meet a need, whether it's a physical need that we had at a time, or whether it was a spiritual need where we just needed encouragement. Maybe it was that we needed to be challenged or corrected in something, and God used the person to do that. It could be all sorts of things, but we need to recognize that. Recognize the part that someone else has played and thank God for them. So let's appreciate the helpers, the ones God has used to meet a need in our life. Here's another category. If we go back to Romans chapter 16 and verse 3, 4, and 5, there's not only helpers, there's also givers. So in verse 3, it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So the givers, these are the ones that sacrifice. We've come across Priscilla and Aquila before in Scripture, in Acts chapter 18. They were Jewish believers that met Paul in Corinth. We find out in Acts chapter 18 that they were tent makers, which was also an occupation that Paul was currently doing, so he stayed with them. They had come recently from Italy, so it seems like they traveled a good bit. They would also travel with Paul to Ephesus. So they were people that he had a lot in common with. They were believers, they had the same occupation, and they traveled together for a bit. And Paul is thankful for them, but he specifically commends them for two sacrificial acts. The first in verse 4 is that they have for my life laid down their own necks. That means literally to put your head on the executioner's block. Now, we don't know the specific circumstance that Paul is referring to. We know Paul was all the time in danger. In his life, it seems like, was always threatened. And he says at some point they were willing to sacrifice themselves for Paul's safety. that they were willing to give their life in order that Paul would live. So that sacrifice, there's also a second one in verse 5, where he says, likewise greet the church that is in their house. So there was a church that met in their house. And maybe this sounds a little less heroic and dramatic than laying down their life for Paul's life. But I would guess that the ladies can appreciate this sort of sacrifice more, having a church in your house. Because as guys, we're like, no big deal, I'm just going to set out some chairs. Right? We're like, I'll just throw some chairs around in the living room, whatever, we'll be fine. And the ladies are like, well, that means every Saturday I have to clean the house and the bathrooms, and I have to think about, where I'm going to put all their coats when they come, or, like, will I need food? Is this going to be a meal thing? Are they going to want food after this? What about a nursery? Are we going to need a nursery? And these are all the things I tried to come up with. And you ladies probably have more things. You're like, we have to take care of this and this and this. And we guys are like, we can sit on the floor. It's no big deal. You know, just put chairs out, right? But you got to think about this sacrifice for them to consistently, Sunday after Sunday, to have people in their house. They sacrificed to provide a meeting place for their church family. And Paul takes a moment. He says, I want to thank this couple for their sacrifices, the sacrifices that they are continually making and the things that they are willing to do. We need to appreciate the givers in our life, the people who make sacrifices for us. And sometimes, especially when those sacrifices are a consistent basis or are continually happening, we kind of just, after a while, assume that it's going to be there and we kind of take it for granted. We need to appreciate the sacrifices that people make. Now, I do want to stop here because we can't talk about sacrifice without talking about Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he has made for us. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Because every sacrifice we make is following in the example of Jesus Christ. We are following in his steps. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. But then it says in verse 2 that we need to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet smelling savor. This is the gospel that Jesus sacrificed himself in order to save us from our sins. We're all sinners on our way to hell. That is where everybody starts. And there is nothing that we can do to alter that reality. There's nothing we can do to change that fact. We are sinners, and we are condemned because of our sin, and therefore, we are on our way to hell. Nothing we have done, could do, or will ever do would make us good enough to get out of that. There's nothing we can do to improve ourselves or make ourselves good enough. There is no righteousness that we can earn. But Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us. He took upon himself our sin and our guilt and all of our punishment. And he willingly became the payment for our sin. That was the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says that whosoever then shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our salvation that's offered to us, that if anybody trusts in Jesus Christ, they will be saved. All of that was made possible because of a sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. That he left heaven, he came and took the form of a man, lived a sinless life, allowed himself to be crucified on a cross bearing our sin. That was the sacrifice of Christ. And he did it for you and he did it for me. We are where we are because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what we're told. And that's what Christ did for us. But then in Ephesians chapter 5, we're told, all right, that sacrifice and that sort of love, you show that to other people. And we have people all around us that are currently doing that for us, that are sacrificing of themselves for us. We need to appreciate that. We need to recognize that. Someone has said that we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And I think specifically of the sacrifice that parents make for their children. And probably no one more than mothers. You think about them carrying a child for 9 months, and then the pain of childbirth, and then the pain of rearing that child. But just all that parents go through in sacrificing for their children, it's been a sacrifice on the part of a lot of people to bring us to where we are. Throughout the years, all of the years of our past, it's been people sacrificing and giving for us, giving up of themselves to get us to where we are. We think about the sacrifice of Christ and then the people that God has used who have sacrificed for us. We need to be appreciative of that. We need to be thankful for the people who have given and currently are giving for us. So there's helpers, there's givers. If we go back to Romans chapter 16, here's the third category. There are workers. Helpers, givers, workers. These are the people that get stuff done. So Romans chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." And then in verse 12, "Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord." And we have Mary, then we have Tryphena and Tryphosa. Those are three women. And it says that they labored in the Lord, workers for Jesus Christ. And the phrase "in the Lord" is important because it's speaking about the spiritual nature of what they did. That their heart, their devotion, and their dependence was on God in the things that they did. They weren't doing it in themselves or of themselves. They were doing a spiritual work, even as it was a physical work in the labor that they did. Yet it was spiritual in the sense that they did it in the Lord and for the Lord. Now, if we take this group and we kind of try and differentiate it from maybe the first one from the helpers, I would say that this is a group that that what they do, they don't do with you in mind specifically, but you do benefit from it. For example, during the winter, when it snows, right, and we get those snowstorms, you'll have guys that'll plow your street, right, and they'll come by in the plow trucks, the state plow trucks, and they'll plow your road, right. They probably don't do it specifically with you in mind, right? They probably don't pass by your house and they go, "I'm doing it for you," and name you, right? I don't think they do, right? But you benefit from it, right? Because you don't have to shovel your way all the way down to the road or all the way to work or whatever, right? So we benefit from it. Now, if somebody comes to your house and they specifically shovel out your driveway or snowblow your driveway, they probably have you in mind specifically. But there's a lot of other people who do a lot of things that we benefit from, where maybe they don't do it with you in mind specifically, but yet we reap the benefits of that. I think about believers who hold a secular job, but they do it according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, which says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And in all the jobs that you guys hold, you contribute to society, and then all of society benefits from that. Right? And there are things that you do where maybe you go to your job and you don't do it specifically with Pastor Donnie in mind. Yet it contributes to society, and there is a benefit from that. And you do it in the Lord, right? You do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And we need to appreciate workers, just the believers that are doing what God has called them to do, doing it for the Lord, and we're blessed because of that. People who are out there serving the Lord in their jobs, doing what God has told them to do. They're just out there obeying the Lord, and they're helping society, they're working, and as a church, we benefit from that. So there's workers, but here's the fourth category. So there's helpers, givers, workers, and then number four, there are sharers. So if we look in verse 7, and we're not going to be able to cover all of these names and have that many categories, but verse 7, these are the ones who are just there for you, the ones that share. So verse 7 says, "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So he mentions these two and he calls them my kinsmen, which probably means they were Jewish, not necessarily a close relative of Paul. But he does say that they were fellow prisoners, that my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Again, we don't know exactly which imprisonment Paul was referring to, whether they were in the same prison as him or they were just also prisoners at the same time as him. We do know that Andronicus is a man and Junia is a woman, so maybe they're husband and wife. We can kind of guess about that. But what Paul is bringing out is that they had this shared experience with him, that they also suffered in the same way that Paul suffered, and that there was on their part a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ as Paul had suffered. And go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul appreciated this about this couple, their willingness to suffer in the same way that he had suffered, their willingness to serve the Lord to the point of being imprisoned. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, this wasn't always the case with Paul. Because in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he says, at my first answer, which would be his first like defense in court, he says, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul understood what it was to be alone in his trials and to take a stand for the Lord and to watch everybody else kind of walk away and not be willing to go through those trials, not be willing to suffer or be imprisoned for their faith. And he looked at this couple and he said, I appreciate your willingness to share in these burdens with me, that you were willing to go through this as I am. He was thankful for their faithfulness to God and also their faithfulness to Paul in serving with him. We need to appreciate the people that are willing to be there for us all the time in our life, who really have just been present in our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we understand, we usually take that and say, well, that is God, right? Who is, and it's true, he is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter what we're going through, God is there with us. Good times, bad times, God is faithful. He is always there. We can always count on him. But we also know there's people in our life that we can just count on, who are just, they're just there for us, that they're happy for us in the good times, and they're there to rejoice with us, and they're so proud of us when things go well in our life and all of that. But we also know they're faithful in the hard times, and they've been there in the suffering and in the trials and in the difficult times. There are people who just, they're the sharers in our life. They're just always there, and we can count on them no matter what we're going through. All along the way in our life, we've just had godly friends that are present. They're like a rock that we can count on. And they're just, they're really a testimony to us of the faithfulness of God, right? That's what they remind us of. They remind us that as faithful as they are, God is more faithful. But they are that beautiful picture of how faithful God is to us. They are this physical representation of the faithfulness and the constancy of God. And there are people that we've had with us all along the way that have just been there for us. We need to appreciate that. Appreciate the people who have been faithful to us. Those good friends that we've had. There's a lot of people that God has put in our life. And let's appreciate them this morning. Let's find a way to put them in one of these or more of these categories and say, you know, I'm thankful. I could look at the thorns, I'm going to look at the roses, and I'm going to find ways to appreciate the people around us. God is using them. God is using people, our church family, in our lives. Who do we have to be thankful for? More people than we realize. We have more people to be thankful for than I think we would first understand. But as we start to list them, and maybe if we would make a list like Paul does in Romans chapter 16, we would have so many people to be thankful for. We just list name after name of people that are right here around us. So, you know, I'm thankful for them, and this is why. I'm thankful for the ways that they've helped me. I'm thankful for the sacrifices that they have made for me. I'm thankful for their presence in my life. I'm just thankful for how hard they work and for what they are doing. I'm just thankful for them. We have so many people to be thankful for. And I think like Paul does in Romans chapter 16, it wouldn't hurt us to tell them how much we appreciate them and to express that to them. And lest you think I'm talking about me at the end of the service, I'll just assume you're thankful for me and you can tell me if you're not. We can do it that way. I'm not here for you to tell me how glad you are for me at the end of the service. But really, it is good for us to express our appreciation to people and let them know that we understand what they've done and how thankful we are for them. But I want to close with one more thought. I read a book several years ago, and I tried to find it again for this illustration. I couldn't remember the name of it, and I tried to Google it. I spent probably too long looking for it, and I couldn't find it again. But so it was an author who he wrote about his foray into like being a first responder. And he started following some different first responders around, like paramedics and firefighters and those different people. He wanted to learn about them firsthand. So he started like traveling with them, riding along with them on their emergency visits. And as he did, as he began to study them, he really began to appreciate all that they went through and how hard they worked and the difficulty of the job that they did. Along the way, to kind of put himself in their shoes, he started taking some training courses. He even got some certifications and different things. And then at the end of the book, he wrote about how this whole journey changed him. And he said there was this time where he was driving in his car and he came across the scene of an accident that had recently taken place. And there were all the flashing lights and the sirens. And he said, you know, at the beginning of this journey, he said, I would have just kind of gone on my way and just kind of like turned and went from that situation. But he said, now, I found myself running toward the lights and running toward the sirens and going to help. And I thought about that, and I thought about who we are. I thought about his journey of appreciating how much people help him and all the work that other people do for him, and then the journey that he took to becoming one of those people. And even as this morning, as we appreciate all the people around us, all the helpers and the givers and the workers and the sharers, what are we doing to become one of those? If we were to find ourselves included in Romans chapter 16, what would it say about us? Could it say anything about us in our part, in other people's lives, in helping, in giving, in sacrificing, in sharing, in working, in all of those different ways? Is there something that could be said of us? We don't have to wait to be asked to do things. We have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, who is your enabler and your empowerer to do all of this. You can just be this to someone else. Ask God to open your eyes to needs, to opportunities. Sometimes we get really self-centered and really fixated on our life and our problems, what's going on in our life. Ask the Lord to give you a vision to see what other people need, and how you can then reach out and be this to someone else. What could be said of us if we were here in Romans chapter 16? And then I want to ask this question. Have we stopped appreciating the people in our lives? Have we gotten so focused on the issues and the problems that we've stopped being thankful for people? There's always going to be thorns, but if we look, there's always roses that we can find. What if we started really appreciating people in our life? What if we started talking about them the way Paul talks about these people in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 16? And then what if we were one of them? What if we started being that sort of person? God has surrounded us with people that are a blessing to us. God is blessing you with your church family. He's blessing you with the people that he's put around you. Let's appreciate that. Let's recognize that. Let's be thankful. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I'm thankful first for Jesus Christ. Lord, when we look at all these categories, we find Jesus Christ in each of these. You have done so much for us. We would not be where we are this morning without you. But Lord, I'm also thankful for the people that you've surrounded us with. Lord, help us to be grateful. It's so easy to find the flaws and to focus on other things, but Lord, just give us a heart of gratefulness this morning. Help us to really appreciate the people you've put around us. Help us to be thankful. Lord, help us to be that sort of person that is involved in other people, that is giving of ourselves to help and to work and to share. Lord, just make us grateful this morning. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.